Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Wrapping up Resurrection Hunters, and last Sunday was just so amazing to see how God moved in this place from the dance to the worship. I know I love the, I actually got to hear the mix because Brian was working on some sound this week, and I got to hear the electric guitar for like 3 hours on, I think it was Wednesday, and it sounded so good. So it was just such a special Sunday with everybody just pouring out their giftings, and it was great. So how many know Easter is every day, though, right? So let's get back into the resurrection this morning. Our message series in April has been all about how resurrection isn't just a one-time event. Amen? We're all searching for purpose, peace, and healing, but often in the wrong places. And true life starts with Jesus. As Pastor Caleb said, the cross isn't the end. It's the start of something that changes everything. Amen. So next week starts our new message series. It's called The New Normal. And I'm just excited to get into that with you and with Pastor Caleb here as we bring it. But just to review, last Sunday we talked about resurrection hunters. Do you believe Jesus' resurrection is hunting you more than death in every area of your life? Did anybody get convicted by that this week? Who had a week? I had a week this week, and let me tell you, there were moments where I had to remind myself, and Brian had to remind me, resurrection is hunting you, and I don't mean hunting in a negative way, like we talked about last week, but resurrection is hunting you and has found you more than death. And if you just get one thing out of today, even though that's not today's message, get that, because that is the salvation of Jesus. Amen? We talked about how Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I was going to actually get out our lost and our found canvases. I don't know where they are. Dude. They're in the middle. Could you grab them quick? Sorry. Thank you, Pastor Gil. So our theme verse is Luke 24, verses 4 through 6. If you've got your Bible, we're going to turn there, or your phone, or whatever your Bible is on. It says, while they were while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in the Galilee." Amen. So why do you look for the living among the dead? Last Sunday, we did an activity in the foyer. It was so powerful, where we had a lost canvas and a found canvas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A lost canvas and a found canvas. And we got to write down what we had, where we had been lost and how Jesus has found us. So that's what Pastor Caleb's bringing in, because it got put in the office. Here they come. Give it up for Pastor Caleb. Let's go. All right, let's see, I need a volunteer. Dallas, Sam, can you guys hold these up here for a second? You've been voluntold.
Yep, voluntold.
All right, who wants to be what? Wonderful. I was gonna get easels, but you guys are living easels, sure. All right, I just wanted to celebrate the testimonies here. So we're doing Hebrew, let's see. Oh no, this is left to right. It's right to left on my side. All right, so I just want to read out some of the testimonies. This summer, we're going to be featuring different testimonies every week that are represented in our community. So if you've got a testimony, which you do, even if you don't know you do, we're going to be celebrating that more this summer. But I wanted to just say, so these are anonymous. So here we go. Fear of death and confusion, loneliness, drug addiction to loving family and friends, the fear of being judged, homelessness, lack of worth, all alone, death, rejection, feeling like I was an accident, witchcraft, shame. Those are just a few. Let's see, maybe one more. Suicidal, depression, anxiety, eating disorder, sugar addiction. All right, so that's just a few on there. If you wrote one, I didn't say it. We'll say more later. Found, and I hope someone's going to get excited. All right. Identity, joy, hope, a member of the family, absolute forgiveness, freedom, acceptance, purpose, healing, forgiveness. And I love this. This is more practical. Finishing a college degree, hope, calm, truth, and love. Amen. Someone get excited. Please get excited. All right. Thank you, guys. You can put them down over there. All right. You can just put it over there. We got to practice our excitement when we hear what God is doing. All right. There we go. All right. Well, and I know there are so many more lost and founds represented here. And if you heard the lost and you think, you know what, right now I feel actually like I belong only on the lost canvas, you're in the right place because Jesus is in the business of finding, amen? And so if that's you this morning, especially after service even, come up to the ministry team, the altar team would love to pray for you, would love to help you get breakthrough in what God has for you today because God created you to thrive. Amen. And that word thrive means to grow and mature. So at the very heart of our church name, it's all about taking that next step in growing in relationship with Jesus, who is a living God. Amen. So today when I was prepping this message, I wrote down something and I was talking with Brian and I said it and I wrote it down. And I thought, that sounds too good to be true. And then I thought, no, I think that is the truth. I had to check with, I was like, Brian, is that true? No, that is true. So that's what the message is about. So if this hits you that way, maybe it won't. But for me, it was like, that's too good news. Every person can expect resurrection in every area of their life when they are born again. Every person can expect resurrection in every area of their life when they are born again. And I'm not saying resurrection looks like a certain thing, all right? Resurrection for you may look different than resurrection for me because God is doing something unique in our lives, but every person can expect resurrection. How many need to expect some resurrection in some areas of your life this morning? Amen? Because there is no death, there is no trauma, there is no sin, there is no brokenness, there is no loss that is power, that has more power than Jesus. Amen? I want to say that one more time. Because it is so easy to worship the problems in our lives and give more attention to the problem than to actually recognize the Jesus solution that he is releasing. Amen? There is no death, no trauma, no sin, no brokenness stronger than the power of Jesus. And that is how we can recognize the resurrection life can happen in every area of our life when we are born again in Jesus, when we have made Jesus our Savior and our Lord. Amen? I was just thinking this out and realized, you know, the church is built by God through men and women who dare to believe that resurrection is possible in every area. How many want to follow and go to a church that's like, well, we believe resurrection in these five categories, but in these five, you are hopeless and gone, right? Who'd be like, sign me up. I want to be a member, right? But yet when we come to church, sometimes it feels a little bit like that. But we're a church that believes that the resurrection power of God is stronger than anything that has happened to you or you have done or ever will happen. Amen? And we stand on that truth. And that is a daring truth to believe. But without that, we can only replicate the death around us. Think about it. If the church doesn't believe in the resurrection power of God, then all they can do is replicate the death around us. How many know the world doesn't need more death? It's got a buffet, right? But the world needs the life of God. And if the church doesn't have the tenacity and the courage to believe in the resurrection power of Jesus in every area of life, then where else can the world receive that life? Amen? It is a responsibility. It is a gift. It is an inheritance. And it is the vision of the church to release that power on earth. Amen? After the resurrection, Jesus' disciples were faced with this question head on. Could they really expect resurrection in every area of their life? How many know they didn't exactly expect it? right? That's the news flash of the entire message. They didn't expect it. And they were given every clue. They walked with Jesus. How many have ever thought, well, if Jesus just showed up in the flesh and told me that he could restore this area of my life, or he could redeem this and use it for good, then I would believe him. Anybody? I mean, I would. Walk in the flesh, just like Pastor Tom walking up to me, I'd be like, I surrender. You know, I got it. And yet, with the disciples, they had that. And they still didn't believe. They still didn't expect. So if you're in a place this morning, there's no shame if you're struggling to expect something different than what you've always received. But there is an invitation to receive the courage and the love of God. Amen? So let's dive into this a little bit more. I was going to have a gravestone up here, but I didn't do that. I thought that might be a little too morbid. But the whole point of today's message is R.I.P. Can we just say R.I.P.? R.I.P. is used on gravestones as early as the 8th century and is a saying used to express condolences for the deceased, right? R.I.P. It's rest in peace, but that's not what we're preaching on, even though resting and peace are great, but that's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about this morning is every area you see a gravestone in your life with R.I.P. in it is an opportunity where you can expect the resurrection power of God to move. How many have some gravestones in your life right now? Maybe it's at your house, it's on your property, it's maybe you're looking at it in the mirror when you wake up a little bit, right? And you're like, man, R.I.P. And God is saying, hold on, it's an invitation to resurrection. So let's unpack what R.I.P. means this morning. We're going to do that in Luke chapter 24. We're really going to anchor most of the message there. So if you have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, talk to Pastor Caleb, he'll get you a Bible. But open up your Bible to Luke 24, verse 13 through 49. Jesus showed up to people after he was resurrected. And this week's Bible study, if you got it at the door or you want to download it online, it's on the thriveandwhite.org/connect. It goes into those appearances of Jesus more. But we're just going to focus on Emmaus. And everyone say Emmaus. So I got to stay in a gorgeous prayer house in Emmaus about 14 years ago on a trip to Israel, and I have these memories. I had this prayer room up top in this prayer house, and we got to worship Jesus, and it was so powerful. It kind of looks like Ithaca a little bit, rolling hills, and it's just beautiful. But how many walk to church from Ithaca? Probably not, right? And so we're not 7 miles from Ithaca. I don't know what we are. From like downtown Ithaca, I'm not sure, I'm not good with directions, but Emmaus is about, I think, 7 miles from Jerusalem, all right? Just for some. I don't know, does anybody know how far we are from like the commons? I have no idea. Okay, well, don't try and walk it. Yeah, it's not 7 miles, okay. All right, well, number one is R. So everyone say R.
R.
There you go, he got the memo. One pirate in the front. It's all right, pirates are on the lost. Sons of God are on the found, right? R is remember, all right? How many have seen a gravestone in your life? And some of us this morning are facing some gravestones that are really big. It was the weirdest thing. I was driving back. I don't know where I was driving from. I was driving back from something yesterday. That shows you where my brain was yesterday. And this huge tree, I'm talking like huge, fell in the cemetery and like wiped out. I mean, like it was huge and it wiped out all these tombstones. And I was like, oh my gosh. Brian was like, oh no. Like, you know, I think everything stayed underground that needed to, you know, but it like wiped it out. And it just reminded me that if you see a tombstone and you're like, you know, you have no idea, Pastor Hannah, these gravestones have been in my life for years. In fact, I inherited this gravestone from my dad or from my mom, or from a grandparent. Well, the power of God can still wipe it out, right? If a tree can, how much more can Jesus, right? But it's easy to think that we're alone when we have a tombstone in our life. It's easy to think that we're the only one going through it. Amen? And so the first one is remember, because what we remember in that place of facing death in our life can determine whether we actually can receive the resurrection power of God or we're just replicating that death. And so I wanted to pull out a couple missionary stories here. These are heroes that believed that God's resurrection can happen anywhere, through anyone, at any time, no matter what. So let's just build up our faith. Amy Carmichael, who was 1867 to 1951, she suffered from extreme illness that left her so weak she was bedridden for weeks. But she knew God had a call on her to be a missionary, and she moved to India and spent her remaining 55 years there without ever going home. Her life was dedicated to ending child prostitution, and she took in over 1,000 kids, giving homes, education, and medical care. Her ministry continues to serve hundreds today, and she also wrote many books. How many know she was facing a tombstone of her own health, and yet God still had a call on her life? Maybe this morning you're facing a tombstone of a health diagnosis. It doesn't mean you need to go be a missionary in India. It looks different for us all, remember that. But whatever the call of God is, it's bigger than whatever you are facing. Amen? The second one, I hope I can pronounce his name right. I think it's we're going to call him Mr. and Mrs. Judson. That's what we're calling him, okay? 1788 to 1850s, Mr. Judson was the first American missionary to Burma at age 25, just after getting married 2 weeks prior. How's that for a honeymoon? They spent 40 years there together, witnessing to the Burmese. He was tortured, imprisoned, but never gave up. And before he died, he had established several churches and gave Burma their first ever Bible in their language. Isn't that amazing? And I heard his wife was also a hero. She learned all the languages as well. She was less educated than him, but she was learning all the languages. Then we have J. Hudson Taylor, 1932 to 1905. Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China behind closed doors for 51 years. He founded China Inland Mission, and because of it, over 800 missionaries came into the country. How's that for legacy? Eric Little from Chariots of Fire was a missionary as part of Taylor's missionary ministry. Go home and watch Chariots of Fire. Hudson spoke several Chinese dialects and helped translate the New Testament into the Shanghai dialect, and was known for being respectful and sensitive, especially of the Chinese culture. He endured sickness and loss, and his legacy inspired thousands of missionaries to this day. As he said, quote, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them. Who wants to reckon that God is with you this morning? The qualifier for being God's giant isn't your level of strength, but your level of surrender, especially in that face of looking at a gravestone in your life. Amen? But I got to thinking, all of us are here because someone dared to believe in the impossible. Every person. It could have been a grandparent. It could have been a friend that said Jesus loves you. Maybe someone invited you to this church or another church back in the day. But somebody said, no, resurrection can happen in their life. I'm going to take a risk. Think about it. Maybe you don't even know who it was, but someone said, I'm going to take a chance. Jesus' resurrection can happen here. Who in your life today is God saying, hey, take a chance? Remind them Jesus' resurrection can happen in their life. Amen? That's the power of testimony. Our church is here today because an Australian revivalist dared to believe that here, facing his own gravestone of burnout in ministry. But he said, I'm going to take a chance. God showed up, and the resurrection power of God birthed Thrive. Right? Isn't that a powerful testimony? You are not alone. So let's get into Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing things, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Maybe that's you this morning. You walked in, and Pastor Caleb's talking about the joy, but all you can do is stand still and worship and feel sad. Then one of them said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? How many know when you are facing a gravestone in your life, when you are facing the impossible in your life, we often tell God, are you the only one that doesn't know what's been going on in my life? Have you ever prayed that? I will be honest, I have. I'm like, you're the only one that has no idea, right? Have you ever been real with God? I encourage you, he's not afraid of you being real. When in reality, God is the only one that knows what you are actually dealing with, more than you. Think about it, right? But if the enemy can get you to think that God has forgotten you, then you can spend your whole life trying to convince God of something he knows all along. The enemy has no power over God. Amen? It is finished on the cross, the tomb rolled away, resurrection power. So the enemy can't get God to forget you, but he can try to deceive, right? That's all he can do. He can deceive. And he can try to deceive us into thinking God has forgotten you. But I want to remind you, God has not forgotten your relationships. He has not forgotten your habits, your finances. He has not forgotten your dreams, your vision, your purpose. He has not forgotten you this morning, even no matter what you are facing. But it's also easy to forget that every resurrection requires a death. That's great news, right? Every resurrection requires a death. But every area, what that means is we are experiencing death, is a sign resurrection is coming. Amen? And again, what does that resurrection look like? It looks different for us all, but it looks like the power of God moving in the impossible in your life in a way only he can. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes we wake up one day and we realize, whoa, I'm different. I don't even know what happened, or they're different. I don't even know what happened, but it's nothing I could have done. Amen? But if the enemy can get you to believe that death is the end instead of the very environment Jesus' resurrection happens, we can stop receiving Jesus' resurrection. So if you are facing a gravestone, if you are facing an impossibility this morning, it's the very environment that Jesus has chosen to work miracles in your life. He didn't cause the death, but he's going to cause the life. Amen? He's going to cause the life. Remember our theme verse. It says, remember how he told you, right? That word remember, to recall, to be mindful of. What we remember shapes what we believe and expect. What and how we remember in times of crisis defines whether we expect death or resurrection power. How many know in a crisis, your memory can just go? It's the weirdest thing. If Brian and I are in a conflict, it's like I forgot every nice thing he ever said. Anybody, if you're in a marriage or maybe in a friendship or a coworker, it's like they could be the prince. They could do anything and everything for you for 50 years, and something happens, and you forget everything, right? Brian and I had this last night, and finally I was like, I was practicing my conflict management skills, and I was like, the story I'm hearing is that you don't care about me, but I know you do, so don't hear that. I just had to say it. He's like, okay. I was like, okay. Well, you do care about me. We're good. He's like, all right. You know, it was a little more than that, but I won't get into it. He's not in here for his part, but it wasn't him. I'll put it that way. But sometimes you just forget. But what you remember in times of crisis defines whether you can actually receive that resurrection. Amen. So I encourage you, remember who God is. Do not base your theology of God on the moment of your life and the circumstances you're going through. Base it on the word of God, on the cross and the finished work and the resurrection power of Jesus. And the question is, where you see a gravestone in your life, what are you remembering about God? Are you remembering the truth? Don't do it alone. Some of us, like me, I'm like, I got to get with someone, get me on the phone with somebody who can remind me of who God is, because I can't remember. That is why the church exists. Get on the phone, talk to someone here. We are here to remind each other of who God is. Amen? That's why we sing worship songs, and sometimes we repeat the same song, like Living God. We repeat that a lot this morning. Some of us are probably like, I know he's alive, right? But it literally is proven in music that music and repetition as we sing helps our brain to activate a part of our brain where memories are stored. And singing encourages neuroplasticity and creates new nerves, helps with memory formation and recall. So worship is literally restoring our brain because God designed us scientifically to be restored as we worship him. Worship the Lord and remember his goodness. We aren't just singing songs to fill time. There's a lot of ways you can fill your time. We are literally inviting God to heal our bodies so we can remember Monday morning that he's living and he's not dead. We're found, we're not lost. Amen? So I is intimacy. We're going to go through the next two a little more quick. Here we go. So Luke 24, 19 through 27, it continues the story. I'm not going to get into it, but you can read it later on your own time. Again, in the Bible study, it does get into it. It says, here we go, verse 26, wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. That's Jesus speaking. So Jesus literally explains himself to the disciples, and they're still clueless. So if you're feeling clueless this morning, we're all in the same boat, all right? We'll get to heaven and everyone just give each other hugs, right? But the main thing is that all of the word of God points to Jesus. Everything points to a savior. Isn't that powerful? It says in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That word know is experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge, but it's the kind of knowing knowledge. It literally is the word used in the Bible when it said Joseph did not know Mary. That's how deep it is in the physical. But in the spiritual and emotional, it's an emotional, it's an experiential knowledge. So that's why our mission statement is experience God, not just think about him or learn about him, which we need to do, but it's experience his truth. And that word truth is reality. So in the face of death in your life, the real challenge is the war of realities that we stand in. Who is standing in a war of realities? Amen. The war we the war of what truth we choose to believe. Amen? The war of what truth we choose to believe. It was a tongue twister. But how many know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Not a way, a truth, and a life. Sometimes we base our lives off of a way, but it's the way, right? So that word intimacy, what we choose to be intimate with, what we choose to be in relationship with in that place of crisis can shape whether we choose to receive more death, more whatever it is that's negative, or receive the resurrection power of God. Because in Luke 24, verse 28, it says, they came near the village where they were going, and Jesus gave the impression that he was going further, but they urged him, stay with us because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So we went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them, and he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But then he disappeared from their sight. How many know Jesus could have chosen to reveal himself at any point on that journey? But he chose the moment of deepest communion and intimacy when their needs were not just spiritual. Think about that. They were tired, they were hungry, and instead of just meeting their physical need, that's when he met all of their needs. When you are facing a gravestone in your life, when you are facing death in your life, an impossibility in your life, how many know that God created us with needs, and he doesn't want to just meet our spiritual need? He actually wanted to bless the disciples physically with rest, with nourishment, and then with communion. Isn't that powerful? What you choose to be intimate with in times of crisis will either numb your pain or heal it, either entertain you or deliver you. It will either band-aid it or restore you. Either numb or heal, entertain or deliver, band-aid or restore. And you may think you're just trying to survive, but God is here to meet you in the deeper needs of your life in an intimate way. I know intimate is like an uncomfortable word, but in a relationship way. Amen? And so my question to you is, what area of your life are you struggling to believe God's truth? Take communion with Jesus in that place. It's uncomfortable, it's messy, but how many know that the Last Supper wasn't like a perfect, polite thing? It was human and the Son of God coming right into the mess and saying, let's take communion here. And he wants to do that with you wherever you are, whatever you're going through in the impossibility of your life. And I'm literally talking physical communion. I mean, prayer, worship, all that's good, but literally break bread with Jesus. Amen? So I'm just going to close here on the last one, which is P. So R is remember. Can we say remember? What you remember matters in the time of crisis. Who you remember God to be, and then that impacts who you remember you are in him. Amen? Intimacy, I, what you are intimate with in that time of crisis, what you are meditating on, what you are coming into relationship with can determine whether we can actually receive God's resurrection power. And then P is power. Emmaus is interesting. It's only mentioned in the Bible once outside of this story, and it's known for being the location of the Maccabean victory that ended one of the worst Holocausts in Jewish history and went on to produce the holiday miracle of Hanukkah. I know we said Mary, okay, true confession, I know we're a little bit over, but did anybody look at the website that was inviting everybody to Easter? And did anybody read, you're invited to Christmas? Come on, you got to help your pastor out. The little pop-up on every page, the little blurb was like, Easter's going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. But the headline, you're invited to Christmas. So I got to confess my sins to one another. I was mortified. So if you've had a rough week, welcome to my world. I am doing my best, but like, help your pastor out. Text the church line, be like, sister, you need help, all right? Anyway, so Hanukkah, right? It's not Christmas or Hanukkah, but here we go. The Battle of Emmaus has been ranked by some as the 20th most influential battle in mankind's history. So if you got the text this week, this is what I was referring to. Wilhelm Wier stated, its victory ensured Judaism would not die and that Christianity could ultimately be born. Isn't that interesting? And Hanukkah commemorates, after the Maccabean revolt, the restoration of Jewish worship at the Second Temple in Jerusalem in 164 BC. Now, Pastor Caleb is usually the history buff, so if you have further questions, talk to him. But the Hanukkah miracle is about a small amount of oil that burned for 8 days when it should have burned for one. When you're in a time of crisis, how many know that you feel like you've got just enough oil for one day? And how many have woken up 8 days later by the power of God still standing? Come on, if that's your story, right? And so Hanukkah reminds us of the power of God, and it all started at Emmaus, by the Battle of Emmaus. And Jesus even celebrated Hanukkah in John 10:22. Isn't that cool? So in Luke 24, they said to each other, the disciples, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road? Weren't our hearts burning within us? In the very place of victory that helped produce worship and purification by the power of God, the disciples said, didn't our hearts burn? In that place where the oil only burned for it should have only burned for a day, but it lasted eight. And the battle happened in Emmaus. The disciples were headed there and said, our hearts were actually on fire. So why don't you stand to your feet? Even when their faith wasn't enough, that they thought Jesus wasn't enough, resurrection wasn't enough, there wasn't enough oil to burn, the power of God burned for them. Amen? I wonder if they were thinking of the Battle of Emmaus. I wonder if Jesus was like, let's show up there. Is anybody going to get a clue? It's like a little scavenger hunt or something, right? Kind of like the teens did last week or the kids did. The power of God is enough where you experience lack in crisis. This is so important. And as we talk about the new normal next week and next month, we'll get into the power of God more. But it says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that word power means strength, ability, might, and miracles. The burning around you isn't more powerful than the burning love of God inside of you this morning. And some of you may feel like you've got just enough oil to keep on going for another minute in this area of your life where you are facing an impossibility. But God says, I have enough oil for you, enough anointing, enough power for you. Nothing has more ability than the power of God in your life this morning. So where you want to just lay it down at a gravestone, Jesus says, won't you remember me? Won't you come into communion with me in this place? And won't you receive the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit right now in this place? It may take every ounce of courage you have, but just like that missionary said, giants are built in God, not because of their strength, but because of their surrender. So Jesus, right now, we just thank you for your resurrection. We thank you that your resurrection power is stronger than anything else. And God, that you are not afraid of our mess. You are not shaming us. You are not judging us. You are inviting us by your mercy, by your amazing grace that saved a wretch like me, that I could say I once was lost, but now am found, even in the place of impossibility this morning. So I just want to end this morning a little bit different. If you are facing an impossibility this morning, and you're like, you know what, I've got a gravestone in my life, and it's been staring me down, I just want to invite you to come up to the front, and our altar team will be up here. You don't have to get ministry from them if you don't want to. You just want to receive from God. But I'm going to end the service here. Food ministry will start at 12 o'clock out of the food center. Connect with people in the back. Let's make friends. Let's build community in God. But also, if you are facing something this morning, don't walk out that door without intentionally receiving something from God. You may not feel it. You may not see something different. But there is a tombstone being rolled away in your life this morning. Amen? So I just want to invite you, if that's you, to come on up. And God, right now, I just bless every household, I bless every person here this morning that is facing death, that is facing loss, that is facing an impossibility. Jesus, we thank you. You are not afraid of our lives. You are not afraid of our past, our present, or our future. You are love, and you are here moving in this place. So we receive from you this morning. And we choose to be a witness this week to remind somebody else of the resurrection power that has gotten us this far. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.